title of the message this morning. Are we there? There we go. Stand fast in the faith. And I want to, I'm excited. A couple of weeks ago, I was just spending time in the Word, and the Lord just quickened something in my heart that I had never seen in this particular passage that we're going to look at this morning. But our New Testament is made up of 27 books. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, on through. 27 different works that comprise our New Testament. 21 of those are called epistles. We would more commonly call them letters. And they're written to individuals, they're written to churches, and so forth. Paul wrote 13 of them. Apostle Paul wrote 13 of them. We can argue about Hebrews, but that would make 14. Some believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Others believe that was authored by somebody else. And then the remaining, we'll say that 13 were written by Paul, just for sake of argument today. And the eight remaining ones were written by different disciples of the Lord, James, John, Jude, Peter. So that makes up the 21 epistles. The other, for your information, and most of you are aware, the other six books are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and the book of Revelation. So that's our New Testament. I say, why are you doing that? Most of the 21 letters, the 21 epistles, at the end of them, there's some kind of blessing or benediction or exhortation or encouragement. You know, and think about it. You know, for instance, again, the Apostle Paul. He's writing a letter, and there's main themes that he wants to touch on, and he goes through those throughout the letter, and he gets to the end. And we do this, too, when we write letters, although we don't probably write a whole lot of letters nowadays. You know, I wrote two letters this week, and I wrote one to our son Mike and one to Roy Fullman at boot camp. But when we write letters, sometimes you may get to the end of the letter, and there might just be, you know, like, yeah, you know, I just, there's some things you wanted to mention that didn't necessarily fit into the body of the letter, but you just wanted to kind of make sure that you communicated those things. And that's what Paul is doing. The one that I'm referring to is in 1 Corinthians. I was in 1 Corinthians, it was a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, and I came across these verses. And you know how in your Bible, there's the scripture, the sacred scripture, and then there's headings over sections. And those headings are not sacred scripture. They're added there to help you understand, okay, these 10 verses are about this particular topic or whatever. So I'm in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. That's the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I get to verse 13, and the heading says, final exhortations. So these are some of the final things that Paul just wanted to mention to the church at Corinth before he ended his letter. And here are the things that we're going to look at today. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 16. He said, watch, stand fast in the faith. That's where I got the title, obviously. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I think that's 19 words. In my head, I was counting it. I was thinking about it the other day. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff in those 19 words that Paul shared. And the thing I love about the Bible, a lot of things I love about the Bible, but I've probably read that 100 times, and many of you probably have too, right? Gone over it. It's not like it's, but all of a sudden, like I said, it was just that moment in time where I was in that particular section, and boom. You know, I just like, wow, that really, really hit me. So just an encouragement to you that the Word of God has a lot there to search out. There's a lot of stuff that we can be digging deeper. Don't think, oh, you know, I read my Bible from cover to cover. You know, I got it all figured out. You know, so there's wonderful things there. And the Holy Spirit just made this passage alive to me. So there's five things in there, and they're, this is what they are. This is almost verbatim. This is basically word for word. Watch. This verse 13 is word for word. Watch, number one. Number two, stand fast in the faith. Number three, be brave. Number four, be strong. And number five, I just shortened verse 14, down a little bit, and I said, just do everything with love. So let's kind of walk through these for a few moments here this morning. Watch. Watch. Be vigilant. It speaks of vigilance and expectancy instead of in contrast with laxity and indifference. It's the opposite of being unaware, of being dull in spirit, of not paying attention, being spiritually asleep. Watch. Other translations say, be on your guard. Be on the alert. Be vigilant. We have an enemy, the Bible says, that goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We do not have the luxury of being spiritually dull or asleep. If we are not watching, if we are not attentive, if we are not vigilant and expectant and all that, we become easy prey for the enemy. We need to be aware of what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is saying. We need to be aware of what the enemy is doing. We must be alert, attentive, on guard, ready. That's the state of vigilance that we need to live in. So as Paul's closing this letter to the Corinthians, he's saying, pay attention. Have your spiritual senses attuned to what is going on around you. Be aware of what God is doing. Be aware of the devil's schemes. Keep your eyes out for opportunity. Keep your eye out for opportunities and for threats. Don't wait for the moment to arise. Be ready as much as we can. I mean, think life will always throw us curves, right? But be ready. We have the story in Matthew 25. It's called the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. In our vernacular, they'd be bridesmaids, right? Attendants to the bride. Five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. Five of them were ready, five of them were not. The ones that made no preparation for the moment that the bridegroom would come, which is, it's a whole different custom, right? I don't fully understand, but you imagine, you know, your bride-to-be, she says, be at the church at 2 o'clock or else, right? You know, but in this, it's like they didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come, you know? And so they had to be ready. And these attendants to the bride, the ones that didn't have oil in their lamps, because that's what the issue is here, he came at midnight, right? He came in the night. You know, they probably thought, well, we're not going to need our lamps. We're not going to need oil because why would he come at night? You know, we know this is all a picture of the coming of our Lord Jesus. But, you know, they're like, why would he come at night? You know, there's a probably better than 50-50 chance he's going to come through the day, come in the day. So why bother with, why bother with oil? Why bother with worrying about our having our lamps trimmed and all that stuff? And if it does happen that way, we'll figure it out at the last minute. It didn't work out too well for him, did it? It's not always the big sins that get us in trouble. Sometimes it's simply not having, to borrow a term, situational awareness, right? They teach in law enforcement, they teach in military, and civilians can and should learn it too, something called situational awareness, understanding what's going on around you. We need to have spiritual situational awareness. There's, I think in the situational awareness teaching stuff, I don't know, CJ probably knows, Jason, you know, there's levels and they're explained by colors. And white is you're not ready, not prepared, not ready to take action, unprepared. Yellow, you're prepared, you're alert, you're aware of the surroundings, but you're still relaxed. Orange is a heightened state of alert. Something doesn't look right. Something doesn't feel right. It's the guy walking down the street or walking through the mall on a 95-degree July day with a ski coat on or something. Say, something's not right, right? Red is high potential for a threat, concern for survival, focused on the emergency. And then there's another level, and that's black. That's panic. And often that comes from, number one, it comes from, you know, not being prepared, not being ready to take action. But black is panic, total breakdown of physical and mental performance. Well, we need to have some spiritual situational awareness. Be alert, watch, be aware, be vigilant. The Bible talks about a watchman. And I've heard the term used before, a watchman's anointing. Pastors like people like that, people who are aware and who discern and understand what's going on around them. And that's not just for a select few. Maybe some have a special call in that area, but we all have and all should have, you know, a degree of that watchman anointing in our lives. Excuse me. Stand fast in the faith is the second thing. That's the title. Standing fast starts with understanding your faith. You cannot stand fast in a faith that you don't know much about. Amen? You can't stand fast if you don't know the foundation that you're standing on. We're told to be strong in the Lord. We're told to fight the good fight of faith. We're told to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. How do you do that if you don't know the foundation that you're standing on? If you don't really know your faith? If you're going to stand fast in the faith, you've got to know the foundation that you're standing on. If we're not growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we're sitting duck for the enemy. And you can't stand fast. In a couple of weeks, week after next, I'm starting a series and I'm calling it Rock Solid Faith. I'm really excited about it. And I can't wait. And the goal of that teaching series, I don't know how long I'm going to go on with it, but I'm just really, really fired up about it. I'm working on getting it together over the next couple of weeks. But I've been thinking about this for a long time and just praying about it and just studying some things. The goal is to equip us with the tools necessary to stand with confidence and assurance, knowing that the Bible and the faith that we embrace is rock solid. We stand on a firm foundation. Christianity, our faith, is not just a blind leap off a cliff, the way that some people would want to maybe make us feel, like, oh, you know, it's just blind faith. You know, it's just like Dee was talking about, you know, her father-in-law, oh, you know, this is for weak people or whatever. You know, and then there's all the skeptics and all the unbelievers and the atheists and all the different philosophies and everything. And sometimes it can make Christians kind of shrink back, you know. And you don't need to. I have walked with the Lord for 42 years, and I have never come across a philosophy, a religion, a way of thinking, a worldview that comes close, that can hold a candle to the Christian faith. I used to be the campus pastor on Brockport State for our church in Brockport, and I've said this before, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of college students, and that's where, you know, supposedly, not so much today, right? Free thinking, you know, where you can think and have a different, and free thinking as long as you're not thinking about Jesus, right? Or things along those lines. And I had so many conversations with students, and they had ideas, and they had philosophies, and all that. And I'm not saying I could always answer every question or whatever, you know, but I never walked away saying, gee, man, I'm intrigued. I want to go, you know, down this other path. Every time I walk away from those conversations, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can have assurance and you can have confidence no matter what is thrown at you. And again, I you know, there's people that, you know, you can't know everything, right? And every, how should I even say this? I'm in the jail last night, and I'm talking to a man. Whew, belligerent, antagonistic. I'm just trying to, it's a long story, but the COs asked me to talk to this guy, and he did not want to talk. All right? And he let me know. He didn't want to talk. And he says, I don't believe in your religion. I'm just here to help you, bud. You know, he believes, and I'm not going to get into the details. He says he's of some other faith. He says he's Rastafarian, and, you know, deal with this a lot in jail. So he wants a different diet. So I said, I'm here to help you talk. He said, you don't know nothing about my religion. And he's being very vulgar and everything. And he says, you know, the King James Bible. And he starts saying this. He says, you know, King James was a pedophile and he was a homosexual. What the heck? What? And, you know, I didn't say this. You look good for your age. I didn't know you were over 400 years old. But you can't answer every question. You're not going to know how to address every situation. But you can have assurance. You can have confidence that you're standing on a solid foundation. And that's something that the elders have been talking about this for quite a while. And so there's some things that we're working on, and I'm really, really excited. So if you're young in the faith, even if you're not young in the faith, you know, we're just going to try to present some things and do some things to help make sure that everybody has a good foundation on which to stand. Last week when we were praying next door, I had this thought come to me. The more you walk with Christ, the more out of step you feel sometimes with the world. That's normal, okay? That's the way, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but that's the way it should be. The world is ever changing. The world is going down all kinds of roads and usually not good ones. But God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Methods change, sure. You know, we live in a digital age, electronic age, social media, all that. You know, I get all that. But Jesus doesn't change. What was morally true and right 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago is morally true and right today. Right? It doesn't change. But you have to know the foundation upon which you stand. You've got to grow in your faith. And as you grow in your faith, you're going to say, wow, you know, I feel like I'm a little out of step with, you know, people around you saying, oh, you're so old-fashioned, you're so out of step, get with the times, right? And sometimes, you, like I said, Christians kind of shrink back feeling like, you know, we don't have, you know, the ability to address those things, those challenges that come our way. James said this. He said, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. If we waver, if we doubt, if we're not sure of the foundation upon which we stand, we're in trouble. So we've got to know the foundation. And I love Paul says it in 2 Timothy. Be diligent. The King James says, study to show yourself approved. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm not making, this is not all just about book learning, okay? It's much more than that. But we need to understand the foundation upon which we stand. And I think the church often comes up short there, and it just is a burden in my heart. Emotions and feelings are only going to get you so far. You've got to know where you stand. And the more you know, the more confidence. You know, I said sometimes you feel out of step. The only way that you can bridge that gap and to go into some of those realms, you know, different, you know, where people are at. You know, I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to talk to that man again. Boy, he was just angry last night. But I went and talked to the CEO, so that's just the way he is. He's just angry at everybody. But, you know, if you know the foundation that you're standing on, you can go into those situations. You may not be able to answer every question. You may not satisfy every whatever. But you can know where you stand and the confidence of who Jesus is. Amen? Amen? For this reason, I love this verse. Paul says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. That's what I want to focus on. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. If you're going to stand fast in the faith, you have to have a firm foundation upon which you're standing. You've got to know where you're standing. And then in Ephesians, when Paul is introducing the armor of God, he says, you know, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, there are days, you know, the scripture, Isaiah 40, 31, I believe is the reference, you know, mounting up with wings as an eagle and so forth. I think that's the right reference. Correct me if I'm wrong. There are days when you don't feel like you can soar like an eagle. There's days where you're not even sure you can run and not be weary. There's days even when you don't know if you can walk and not faint. But by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can stand. And you know what? Even if you stumble and fall down, God's got you covered too. Because the Bible says, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. Stand, stand, stand. Stand fast in the faith. I love number three. Be brave. Be brave. Watch me get in trouble here. All right? Want to watch? You're going to experience this. The Greek word for brave is androzomai, I think is the way you might pronounce it. And it is a derivative of the Greek word for man. It's taken from the same root word as man. And other translations say, be men of courage. Act like men. Be strong like men. Modern translations sometimes just say, be courageous, which is fine. But it's interesting that the word is a derivative of the word man. And obviously, this verse is for both men and women, okay? We all know brave women, right? Most of us are married to a brave woman. You can take that in a lot of ways, can't you? That could mean a lot of things. But over the years, bravery has come to be associated as a sign of manhood. Now, don't be offended, because it doesn't mean that you have to be a man to be brave any more than you have to be a lion to be bold as a lion, right? It's just a figure of speech. Don't be offended. But there's just something about that word brave. I mean, courageous is a great word, too. There's something about, maybe it's my love for the movie Braveheart. I don't know. But just brave. Bravery and courage doesn't mean that you never struggle with fear, right? We just had the 18th anniversary of 9/11 on Wednesday, and, you know, we replayed all of it in our minds and on our TV screens, and those 343 first responders. Do you think they weren't scared? So, well, they're trained for that. No, this was unprecedented, right? Two commercial airliners smashed into 210-story buildings. That never happened before, and by the grace of God, it'll never happen again. It was, how could you not be scared running into those buildings and doing what they were doing? We all will have our moments when we're called upon to be brave. It'll look different for all of us. Here's my summary of bravery. Do the right thing. Do the right thing regardless of the cost, regardless of the backlash, regardless of the resistance, regardless of mocking and ridicule. Do the right thing. Be brave. Amen? Okay, thank you. Amen. Be brave. Be strong. Be strong. Now, this is an interesting one, because we need to think about it in the context of the bigger message in the Bible about strength. You know, where does our strength come from, right? The man who said be strong also said God's strength is made perfect in what? In his weakness. The Bible teaches us it's not by might nor by power, but it is by his Spirit. We're taught over and over and over again in Scripture that we're not to trust in our own strength, but in God's strength working in us and through us. Just don't forget the source of your strength. Paul said it best in Ephesians 6. Again, I was already referencing the different part of the verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our spiritual strength is like our physical strength in the sense that it has to be exercised. You can learn about it, but you got to put it into practice. Hebrews says this, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Be brave. And lastly, do everything with love. I don't have it up on the screen, but everyone, I should say that. A lot of folks, most folks know of 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1, just 1 through 3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. This is a gut check for everything that we do for the Lord and all our busyness. And I'm not saying that's bad, or obviously, you know, I'm busy. We're all trying to serve the Lord, but this is gut check time. It says in 1 Timothy, now the purpose of the commandment is love. It says in the NIV, the goal of the command is love. The goal of the command, the purpose of the command is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience and sincere faith. When we think about what God is all about, this is the starting point and the ending point, right? This is where it all comes together. Sometimes we're busy with all kinds of stuff, but like I said, this is gut check time. What's in our heart? Are we loving God? Are we loving others? You know, we know the scripture. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And with all your strength, this is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbors yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. It all comes back. That's the litmus test. That, you know, what really, you know, the examination of our heart and everything we do. Like he said, I read that passage, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13. All the things we do, it has to come back to this. The other stuff comes up short if we miss that part of Paul's exhortation. Do everything with love. So I just close. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I close with, go ahead and stand. I probably shouldn't have had you stand up yet, but this slide or this text I just put up here, that's 1 Corinthians 3:14 or 13, and or excuse me, 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, I'll get it right, from the Message. And this is Eugene Peterson, this paraphrase. It says, keep your eyes open, watch, hold tight to your convictions. That's stand fast in the faith. Give it all you got. I don't think that's a great, you know, rendering of be brave, but, you know, that's what he saw in it. Be resolute. Keep your eyes open. Hold tight to your convictions. Give it all you got. Be resolute and love without stopping. There's a lot in that little exhortation, those couple little verses, those 19 words. Just so much to us about how to walk out our lives. So I leave those with you, and I just ask you to bow your heads and let's pray together. Jesus, these are just simple truths. To be vigilant, to know the foundation that we stand on and to stand firm upon that, to be willing to do the right thing no matter what it costs, to rely in the strength of the Lord, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and to love like crazy. God, what a great message for all of us. And I pray that we would embrace it. I pray that we would live it out. And I pray that you would just use these truths to strengthen us in our faith, in our witness to those that we come in contact with around us. We thank you for this, Lord. We lift up our dear brother Sherm, Lord, this morning. We just ask that you be with him, strengthen him, Lord. Just have your hand on his life. He's just such a tremendous man of God, and we just selfishly, Lord, just hold on to him and just thank you, God, for him, and just pray you'd be with him right now. And we lift up Joni and her family, us, all these needs, Lord God, that we mentioned earlier, and we thank you for this time. And if anybody, again, I always say, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts, just believing in what he's done for you, dying on the cross for your sin, and opening the way, making a way. He opened the path for us to have a relationship with the Father, restored to him, restored in relationship. If you don't have that, please come see me or talk to somebody. Or if you're just right there and saying, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life, just tell somebody and we'll stand with you and pray with you and help you get that good foundation to get off in your faith, get it off on a good foot. So God bless you. Keep Sherm and have all those things in prayer. Have a great day. Be blessed. You're dismissed. Jesus loves you. He's crazy about you. Love him back the same way. Amen? You're dismissed.